Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you, brethren. Thank you for joining us so much. Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to be with us today in this study, Lord, that you would anoint it, that you would prepare our hearts to understand and to be in agreement with you, Lord. You say that how can two walk together except they be agreed, Lord? Help us to come into agreement with you today so that we can cooperate with you in your purpose in all things, Lord. We trust in you, Lord, to work out in our hearts your salvation, to work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We trust in you to draw us unto Jesus. We trust in you to manifest Jesus in us, the fruit that we desire so much. Lord, bless our understanding, Lord. We know that our mind is, because of the curse, is on this end, Lord, needs total restoration, Lord. And that's what we ask you for, Lord. Since we're not under the curse and Jesus bore that, we ask you to restore our minds to understand you, your kingdom, our benefits. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name today. Amen. Well, brethren, I think I'm going to continue on with what we've been talking about, and that is America's place in God's plan. I know that some of you may be a little disappointed, but just remember the Lord said we're going to be hated of all nations for his name's sake, and that includes this one that we live in. Everybody has to overcome patriotism in order to be faithful to the Lord and not be divided by the desires of this world or worship of this world or worship of the beast in any way. You know, let me just briefly point something out to you here in Revelation chapter 6, which talks about the tribulation period. I'm not going to go into this in any kind of detail, but I'll point out to you that the horse riders that come and bring these devastations upon the earth, you know, the first one is the white horse. We've talked about it being the man-child ministry, that Jesus is coming to be manifested in his people, and this is the first fruits of those that are coming. As you know, Moses came and brought the judgments upon Egypt, which was a kind of their tribulation. And we see the similar judgments in the book of Revelation. So this white horse is coming to bring righteous judgment to the earth. But then there's the red horse, which appears to be war in verse 3. And then that follows on down to the black horse in verse 5, which appears to be famine. And then we come down in verse 8 to the pale horse, which is death. And it's death not only by the sword, which was obviously warfare and so on and so forth, and famine, and then death, okay, is mentioned. And then in verse 9, we talk about the martyrs. Now, we know that the martyrs who are under the altar beseeching the Lord for justice, and God tells them just to rest for a little while until the rest of their brethren have fulfilled their course, so on and so forth. Now, we know that the martyrs don't come forth until the middle of the tribulation is when they start being martyred. So this is about the middle of the tribulation. So look at chapter 6, verse 1, all the way down to verse 9. You know, a lot of people think for some reason that there's going to be relative peace in the beginning of the first 3.5 years. You know, they comfort themselves in seeing some form of peace being there. But notice, folks, there's no peace there. Honestly, the first 3.5 years will be a time of protection. We see that in Revelation chapter 12, where the woman is fed in the wilderness for 3.5 years and protected from the devil, from the dragon, for 3.5 years. But that doesn't mean there's peace on earth. We see war and devastation. The last place here where it talks about death, it says a quarter of mankind will be given over to death. Man, we're talking about the fourth seal bringing this awesome devastation to earth. We're coming to the tribulation here, folks, where there's going to be war and famine and death, and especially war, a lot of war. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that war, why it's coming, so on and so forth, and who's bringing it, who's going to get the blame for it, and so on and so forth. You know, back after 9-1-1, the Lord showed me this in Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 25. And it says, "And there shall be upon every lofty mountain and upon every high hill brooks and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall." You know, God has prepared awesome things for His people. He's prepared a great revival for His people in the midst of devastation and destruction. The man-child's going to be sharing awesome revelation, and there will be a great outpouring of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. Great provision, but at the same time, great devastation and destruction because people many times don't go to the Lord without there being shakings and without there being a restoration of the fear of the Lord. And so I know that the Lord showed me that this was talking about our day, in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. And notice the next verse. "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun." Now, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, God likens His people to three glories: star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. And notice what He's saying about this time that we're coming to and that we're in now. He said, "The light of the moon," which, of course, the moon only reflects the light of the sun. It really has no light of its own. You know, it reflects the light of the sun. And many Christians are in that position right now. They reflect the light of the sun. They walk by faith. They reflect His light. But they don't have a lot of their own personal righteousness. It says, "The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the hurt of His people and healeth the stroke of their wound." You know, the light of the sun will become sevenfold as the light of 7 days. God is going to use the 7 days of the tribulation period to restore His people to Christlikeness, to restore His people, to bring sun glory, to bring the righteousness, the gift of righteousness of Jesus Christ in their life. The tribulation is not coming to destroy God's people, it's coming to restore God's people, to bind up the hurt of His people and to heal the stroke of their wound. It's very interesting that before this 7 days, we see the towers fall. Well, I also got a revelation of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, in verse 3. Verse 4, "Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were offenders above all the men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And I share with you my revelation about Jerusalem also having USA in the middle of it. Well, here's the man-child, Jesus, who the Lord revealed to me, and I shared with you, came in the beginning of their tribulation. I told you that the Lord showed me that the Gospels had a revelation of the first 3.5 years of our tribulation, and that Jesus was the man-child that came in His day, just like the man-child in Revelation 12 will come in the beginning of our tribulation. Well, here He is coming and speaking about a tower that fell. Isn't that interesting? That the tower preceded their tribulation. The falling of the tower on the people preceded their tribulation. And now we've got two towers that fell, because that was one in Jesus' day, and today is two. We got a revelation a while back about the Rome, how that Rome number 2 was about to be judged, and it's America. It's number two now. You know, Rome number one was in Jesus' day, but now it's number two, you know. So it's very interesting how God gives us a lot of these little parallels, but the man-child came. The number 18 is there, too. Did you know, for instance, a very interesting thing that in, I believe it's Exodus, no, it's Genesis 14 and 14, where Abraham came out of the promised land to save Lot from the kings. The kings represented the beast. You know the 10 kings in Book of Revelation? Well, there's 9 kings there mentioned in Genesis. And Abraham came to save them, or to save Lot and his brethren out of their hands. And that's the first place that 18 is mentioned in the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. And Abraham took his servants that were born in his house, 318, and he pursued them, and he delivered Lot and his out of the hand of the beast kingdom in that day. And it's interesting, the second place that the number 18 is used is in Judges 3 and 14. It says, so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. That was a beast kingdom that they were in bondage to. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And of course, Ehud took the two-edged sword and put to death the leader of the beast of his day and delivered his people out of bondage to the beast. So you got 18 represents, in the scriptures, the deliverance of God's people from the beast. And now you know that God's people are once again in bondage to the worldly beast. They don't know it in some cases, but they're in bondage to the world. The principles of the world, the thinking of the world, the worship of the world, the patriotism of the world, they're in bondage again. And you know what? God's sending a man-child again, just like he did in Jesus' day. That's why the number 18 was used in Luke 13 and 4. So, we see that the number 18 and the towers falling precedes the coming of the tribulation period where God's going to deliver his people and manifest himself in them. Praise God. Awesome days coming, folks. But, I want to say another thing, and that is that great and terrible days are coming. Because Babylon is about to start a war. Babylon in Revelation 18, Revelation 17, Revelation 18 is an end time kingdom, and we've discovered that it is America that is symbolized by Babylon, the great eagle, their symbol, the great eagle. And America is about to start a war that represents those wars that come in the beginning of the tribulation period. Right now, it's not known as a world war. But America has conquered some of the nations and will conquer nations that are the same nations that Babylon conquered, the exact same nations. You know that God has raised America up to start a war that's ultimately going to destroy America. But before that, it's going to bring a great destruction in the Middle East and multitudes. Millions of people will die. The sad thing is that a lot of Christians don't understand their place in this world to not bring death and destruction or push it or be behind it. We're different. We're here to bring God's grace. We're here to offer God's grace. And a lot of Christians are for war right now. They don't understand what the thing that they're pushing, where is it actually going? Well, I'll tell you where it's going. It's going Revelation chapter 6, just where we started out. That's where it's headed. And last week I read to you Jeremiah 27 and verse 5, 6, 7, 8. It says, I've made the earth and men and the beasts that are upon the face of the earth by my great power, by my outstretched arm, and I give it to whomsoever it seemeth right unto me, says the Lord. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given unto him to serve him. The beasts being the kingdoms out there that are ruling this world, right? They're all going to serve him. And all the nations shall serve him. and his son and his son's son, until the time that his own land come, and then many nations shall, and great kings shall, make him their bondman. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom, which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, and with famine, and with pestilence. There it is. And until I have consumed them by his hand. Wow, Babylon is going to do a lot of devastation and destruction, we see. Any nation that won't serve them, there will be judgment. Well, go to Jeremiah 25. Let's look at this and see exactly what nations that we're talking about here and what kind of devastation and destruction we're talking about. We'll start in verse 9. He said, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation." Folks, if a lot of Christians understood exactly where we're going by pushing America to go and take on Iran, you say, well, the Lord's doing it, David. It says right there, you know, that that I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, and he will serve me in doing this. Of course. The Lord is behind vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. But don't you know, folks, that the end of this story is the destruction of Babylon for the great sins that they have caused and the great sins that they have done. Let me point out to you that we read the other day also Habakkuk. And Habakkuk said about Babylon, "Woe unto him," chapter 2 and verse 9, "woe unto him that getteth an evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the hand of evil." Obviously, that's the excuse we're using to go out there and conquer the nations, is to keep them from bringing any evil over here, right? He says, "Thou hast devised shame to thy house by cutting off many peoples, and hast sinned against thy soul." See, although God is using the United States to chasten the Muslim nations for their great corruption and their sins against God and his people, he's not using a vessel of honor to do this, because our Lord Jesus said, "Turn the other cheek, love your enemies, do good to them, despitefully use you," so on and so forth. Love your enemies. That's the job of Christians. So, he's not using the United States as a vessel of honor in this regard. And he does say that, verse 7, "Shall not they rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booty unto them? Because thou hast plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder thee, because of men's blood, for the violence done to the land and to the city and to all that dwell therein." Because of men's blood. You know, Revelation 18 and 24 says, "For in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints." So we know that Babylon is going to persecute God's people, just like here in Jeremiah 25. And it goes on to say, "And all that have been slain upon the earth." Babylon is getting the blame for all that are being slain upon the earth in the end time. Well, if you just notice that this war, this Babylon is starting, is going to snowball through all the Middle East, if you want to call it that, and bring this great destruction that we see coming upon the world. Yes, let me read on here in Jeremiah 25. "Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." Well, we know 70 years in the Old Testament represents 7 in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, the harlot of Babylon rides the beast for 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, she's cast down, devoured, burned with fire, so on and so forth. Same thing that happened to Babylon. So God uses abbreviations both ways. This 70 years represents 7 years in the New Testament. See, in Jesus' day, the harlot of apostate Judaism was cast down in 70 A.D., but in the book of Revelation, they're cast down and destroyed just 7 years after the beginning. So, beginning of the tribulation. So, 70 represents seven. Besides that, before I calculated this all out in my mind, I was reading this one day. When I got to 70 years, the Lord spoke to me and said, 7 years. So, I'm going to read on. So, all these nations are going to serve Babylon for 70 years, or 7 years. America, which is the fulfillment of Babylon, 7 years. You don't see natural Babylon conquering any nations nowadays, do you? And you don't even perceive that in the future, do you? No, you really don't. So who is Babylon? Well, it's the great eagle of our day, you know, which is America. And it shall come to pass when 70 years, I'm going to say 7 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. Notice he used him as a servant, but now he's punishing for their iniquity, because killing people is not God's way in the New Testament for his people, his vessels of honor. And the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it desolate forever. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. Yes, God, there's going to come a payback time, because if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's what our Lord Jesus said, and believe me, it's going to come to pass. And America's attempting to live by the sword. At the expense of other people's lives, they're attempting to live. That's a worldly principle. It's always been a worldly principle. It's just not a principle of God's kingdom. Okay? Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto me, take this cup of the wine of the wrath at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. So Jeremiah has been given this authority. And what is the cup of the wine of wrath that he's given to all the nations? It's Babylon. Babylon's conquering of the nations. That's what he's talking about. Yes, wrath is coming upon the world, and Babylon is going to be the cause of it. Verse 16, and they shall drink and reel to and fro and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. That sword, of course, is the judgments, the wrath, the war that we read about in Revelation chapter 6 that's coming upon the world through Babylon. Then I took the cup of the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. I'll let you know, folks, that this is a world war here. All the nations are going to suffer because of this war. Verse 18, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof. You never thought that the Lord would have anything to do with using America to punish Jerusalem and Judah. Well, there's two things we can see here. We can see Jerusalem being God's people, God's New Testament people, and natural Jerusalem. Well, we just received dreams and visions here recently of American troops over there ruling in Israel and in Jerusalem and persecuting the people and so on and so forth. You say, that'll never happen. Oh, yes, it will. It will happen because it's written in the Word of God. You know, we just talked about today, as a matter of fact, earlier, about how that the Security Council ruled against Iran as far actually the IAEA commission has ruled against Iran in bringing their nuclear offense to the Security Council. And America backed down in the face of Egypt and wanted to make this nuclear proliferation problem, make the Middle East a nuclear-free zone. Well, of course, you understand that that doesn't hurt anybody but Israel, and America backed down for their own sake in getting this judgment against Iran. Well, folks, little Israel in the natural, doesn't know God, is not walking by faith in God. They're trusting in their nuclear missiles to save them from all these Arab hordes around them. Arab and otherwise, you understand, because Iranians aren't Arabs. They're Shemites. They're actually ancient kin to Israel. So these people all around them want to destroy them, outnumber them by the multitudes, and Israel's got their nukes, and they don't obviously pretend to use them, but they do want them to defend themselves, and America didn't care. They didn't even consult them with this. They just kind of threw them to the wolves, basically. So, I mean, America's doing things that suit them here. Don't think that they won't side once again. I mean, listen, why are they attempting to make a Palestinian nation on the West Bank? Because they agreed to do this when the Arabs agreed to join with them in the war concerning Afghanistan and Iraq. They agreed to do this. So in other words, they sold Israel down the river, didn't they? You think they won't do it again? I can guarantee you they will. What are they going to guarantee the Arabs this time when they go against Iran? What are they doing right now? You know what the Arabs want, don't you? So don't think that they're going to side with Jerusalem and Judah. You're just wrong if you think that. It's not going to happen. I'm going to read on. Verse 19, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. He's talking about the people that this war is going to touch here, folks. The people that Babylon's going to end up conquering one way or the other here, you know. And all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, which is Jordan, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ascalon, and Gaza, and Ekron, which is the Palestinians, right? So this war is going to affect, ultimately it's going to affect all of these people and bring devastation and destruction throughout the Middle East. And the remnant of Ashdod, again, Palestinians, Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon, which is basically all Jordan, right? Which is where the Palestinians actually came from and should go back to. Verse 22. And all the kings of Tyre and the kings of Sidon, which is Lebanon, and the kings of the Isle, which is beyond the sea, Dedan and Tema and Booz, and that's, I think, Jordan, and all that have the corners of their hair cut off, and all the kings of Arabia, which obviously is Saudi Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the wilderness, probably the nomadic peoples that travel, that don't really have a nation, but travels, yeah, and all the kings of Zimri, which is Syria, and all the kings of Elam, which is Iran. And all the kings of the Medes, which basically are the Kurds, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth. Basically, one way or another, politically, economically, militarily, one way or the other, Babylon is going to rule these nations. And in the Middle East, there's going to be devastation. And in America, there's going to be devastation because this war is coming home, folks. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. That's another meaning for the name of Babylon. Another representative of America shall drink after them. Notice, Iraq is not mentioned here because obviously Babylon was Iraq. And this really couldn't happen until America conquered Iraq to represent the king of Babylon. Interesting. Iraq would be Shishak here, but now this is talking about America because America's conquered the king of Babylon. Since Iraq cannot conquer these nations anyway, if you look at her, you can tell that that's not possible. So the one that conquered Iraq is obviously the king of Iraq, or the king of Babylon, and that's America. And so America fits this perfectly. And as we saw, the king of Babylon, after conquering all these nations and bringing devastation and destruction, as we saw in the tribulation period, they're definitely going to receive payment for this. Live by the sword, die by the sword. So this devastation and destruction is coming home, folks. And the people that push it, it's coming home to them too. So there needs to be repentance by God's people. They need to turn to Him and turn away from their ambitions in the world. Listen at this. This is a vision that was given to Dr. Samuel Doctorian in 1998. He received it on the Isle of Patmos. He went there to pray and to seek the Lord, and while he was there, he received a vision called the vision of the five angels of the continents. And in other words, the different devastation and destruction that was coming to the continents, which, as you know, by the way, the ten kings are the kings of the divisions of the continents. So that's why we're seeing the angels of the continents, because the final fulfillment of the Roman Empire is going to be ruled by ten kings. The second 3.5 years of tribulation period is going to be ruled by ten kings, the kings over the divisions of the continents, getting away from nationalism. Well, I'm going to point out the vision of the second angel that was given to him. He said, "Then I saw that the second angel had a sickle in his hand, such as is used in harvesting. The second angel said, 'Harvest time has come in Israel and the countries all the way to Iran. I saw those countries in a few split seconds, all of Turkey, and those countries that have refused me and refused my message of love shall hate each other and kill one another.'" Hey, notice this, folks. Babylon is bringing wrath and judgment in the Middle East. But a lot of the carnage is going to be because they hate and kill one another. Actually, what's going on over there right now in Iraq? What are they doing? These people who are full of the sins of their fathers are murdering and killing one another. They don't care that there's just slight differences in their doctrine as far as their religion is concerned. They don't mind killing one another. It doesn't bother them a bit. So, you know what? That's going to be taking place in this world war that's coming. Great devastation and destruction. Yes, America's going to be involved in it. America's going to be instigating it. America's going to be hiring the help of other nations. They're going to be, like it says in Habakkuk, once again, they ladeth himself with pledges. They've done this in every war, you know, since Afghanistan. They've got the pledge of these nations. They've bribed them. They've said they'd do this or that. They've bribed them to go to war. And obviously, that's exactly what's going to happen this time. But a lot of the devastation and destruction is going to be between Arab and Semitic nations that are over there. "I saw the angel raise the sickle and come down on all of the Middle East countries. I saw Iran, which is Persia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, all of Georgia, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, all of Asia Minor, full of blood. I saw blood all over these countries, and I saw fire, nuclear weapons used in many of those countries, smoke rising from everywhere, sudden destruction, men destroying one another." You know, you understand, folks, America can't go over there and fight any kind of ground war in Iran. I know it's going to start out an air war. We're convinced of that. It may even start after America's been struck. You know, in fact, Corey here's had a dream that, let me find it here. I'll try to remind you of it just a minute. Corey here had a dream this morning early that three missiles went through the Statue of Liberty, and then they went up into the sky. It's a very symbolic dream, but other people had this dream about three missiles in New York City before. We shared several of them here a while back. And Corey's was a continuing revelation of a dream that he had a while back about the Statue of Liberty being in the water. It's a symbolic thing, we understand that. But after the missiles were fired on the United States that knocked the Statue of Liberty into the water, then he saw a retaliation by the United States of many, many missiles going off. And then he saw a camouflaged MiG that was painted with desert colors, and these missiles rained down on this MiG. Well, of course, we know that Iran ended up with all of Saddam's MiGs after the Gulf War in 1991 because he flew them over there, you know, to save them from the Americans, and basically the Iranians never gave them back. So they ended up with somewhere between 30 and 62 MiGs, MiG-29s, and quite a few Su-24 fencers from Saddam's regime, and Iran's been buying MiGs anyway since the Soviet Union crumbled. So they ended up with a lot of these MiGs, and they're desert camouflage. Very interesting. So what we're talking about is a retaliation after a strike on America, possibly. A retaliation on Iran, an air war. But if they do a ground war, let me point out to you that there's no way America could go over there and fight a ground war without using nuclear missiles, without using nukes, because they would be overrun, folks. There's a lot of Iranians, and they don't mind being human waves. They proved that when they fought against Iraq. They don't mind at all sending cannon fodder over there, just destroying multitudes of people. They're all going to heaven anyway if they fight the infidels, right? Well, it's sad. It is really sad. But if America goes over there and fights any kind of ground war, they will use nuclear missiles, or nuclear bombs, at least. Let me read the rest of this that the second angel showed unto Samuel Doctorum. And I heard these words, Israel, O Israel, the great judgment has come. The angel said, the chosen, the church, the remnant shall be purified. Well, I think this is a rebuke to a lot of theology here in the West, because the chosen, folks, is the church. It's the remnant. They're the ones that are going to be purified. Much of Israel is anti-God and anti-Christ. And there's no protection for them, but there is a remnant there that is the church. They've been born again, and they are the chosen. Only people who are born again are the chosen. So I think that many people's doctrine ought to get straightened up there. The Spirit of God shall prepare the children of God, not the Jews who are Jews in the flesh, the Jews who are Jews in the spirit, whose circumcision is of the heart. Okay? The Spirit of God shall prepare the children of God. I saw fires rising to heaven, the angel said. The angel said, this is the final judgment. My church shall be purified, protected, and ready for the final day. Men will die from thirst. Water shall be scarce all over the Middle East. Rivers shall dry up, and men will fight for water in those countries. The angel showed me that the United Nations shall be broken in pieces because of this crisis in the Middle East. There shall be no more United Nations. The angel with the sickle shall reap the harvest. Well, as we know, folks, that's where it's going. The United Nations, there's probably a couple of revelations there. The United Nations, in one form or another, is going to go all the way through the tribulation period. All seven heads and all ten horns are not broken up until the end, when they break up over America, over Babylon. Babylon here in Jeremiah 25 is ruling all nations, the harlot sitting on top of the beast of all nations, all seven heads, all ten horns, all ten continents. You know, the divisions is there. But at the end, Babylon, who is the head, is thrown down, burned with fire, and eaten by the ten kings. So there's a breaking up of the beast kingdom at the end. When the United Nations comes against the people of God at the end, God divides them into three, like Revelation 16 speaks of. And the kings of the north will have a war with the kings of the south, and the kings of the east will join in, and so on and so forth. The breaking up of the UN will come because of these wars. And ultimately, at the end, Babylon will be the one to suffer this devastating destruction by the breaking up of the UN. Now, whether it's called the UN or not, I don't know, but I do know it will be all nations, and I do know that the Lord is using it to build a one-world order. And I believe that that the war that we're about to see, the first stages of this war, is going to get the world very, very busy in deciding that they need a new world order to survive. And that this war that we're looking at right now, a lot of people believe it's the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, but it's not. The war that we're looking at coming right now is this one in Jeremiah 25. I'll talk about the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war later. But it also starts with a nuclear cataclysm. And I want to tell you that America's going to get hit that time with many, many nuclear bombs when Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens. And in fact, in that particular war, it tells you in Ezekiel 38 that every wall will fall to the ground. You don't think that that's a pre-trib happening there, folks. You read it very carefully, you're going to see that it's a war between Russia and America that begins before the actual attacking of Israel. And we'll look into that very carefully. I'll show you very clearly that that's cannot be a pre-tribulation war. This one is the pre-tribulation war right here. Jeremiah 25 is the pre-tribulation war. As you can see, we've already started into it. And the ultimate result will be much devastation, much destruction, both to America and to the Middle East. Well, you say America's going to be, according to this, the winner. Nobody wins a war like this. There is no such thing as winning a war like this. You know, this war is going to come home. In America, there's going to be nuclear bombs going off. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be the burning of the country by Arabs that are here. There's going to be a great persecution against the Arabs that are here. Great devastation against them. Some of them being innocent. I mean, we know this has happened before. Remember the war with Japan? You know what happens when you don't know that you can trust the guy next to you. Well, this is what's going to happen once again. There's going to be a great persecution. Muslims will be killed. Muslims will be driven from the country. These kind of things are going to happen. And eventually, let me say that the Christians are going to get the blame for this. Folks, they're going to get the blame. Why are they going to get the blame for this? Why is the whole world going to blame the Christians? Besides not taking the mark of the beast, many of the ignorant Christians are pushing this war right here that's going to devastate multitudes and millions of people. Babylon is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets and of all that have been slain upon the earth. Babylon has two revelations, right? The harlot is not only the secular harlot of America that's riding the beast. The harlot is the religious harlot of Babylon too, of apostate religion that's riding the beast. And guess who's going to get the blame for this? You know, the apostate Christians that don't side with the beast and take the mark, these people are going to get the blame for starting this devastation and destruction. Who got the blame in Nazi Germany? Well, Israel took a lot of blame, but a lot of people don't understand that an awful lot of Christians, twice as many Christians died at the hands of the Nazis as Jews. So history's just going to repeat. This time, Christians are going to get the blame. Christians and Jews are going to get the blame for this terrible devastation that's going to go on in the Middle East. And when it comes back home, there's going to be a great persecution of America during this time of this war. At the head of the nations, there's going to be a great persecution against the saints. This beast kingdom, with the harlot riding upon the back, will make war with the saints and overcome their flesh, let me say. The Bible says it will overcome them. But you know why the beast has always been raised up? It's to overcome the flesh, the old man, right? God's going to give us help, you know, on our crosses here, folks. And many Christians will die, but many more will be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And at any rate, all of this has God's purpose behind it. He is going to revive, as we can see here. Even the angels spoke. And as we saw over in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 25, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the hurt of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Yes, praise be to God. A great revival, a great manifestation of Jesus, the Son, will be in his people because of all this that's going on. But Christians are going to bring it upon themselves in a lot of ways. I'm not talking about you and me necessarily. I'm not for war. We're not supposed to teach war. We're not supposed to join in war. We're not supposed to kill people. But it's the same thing. Religious Babylon is guilty of the blood of the saints and the prophets and of all that have been slain upon the earth. That's what the scripture says. In other words, Christians are going to bring this upon themselves. It's sad that when this persecution comes, a lot of people are not going to realize the difference between some Christians and other Christians. I mean, Christians are Christian, right? So a lot of people, you know, Paul was blamed, which was a type and a shadow. You know, he was asked, aren't you that Egyptian that led out the 400 assassins into the wilderness? You know, he was being blamed for being a terrorist. You know, one of those that rebelled against Rome of his day, you know. And Christians in our day, as after that type and shadow, they're going to get blamed too for rebelling against the revived Roman Empire. At any rate, you see this terrible devastation that's going to come upon the nations that America's going out there to try to defend themselves and save themselves. And, you know, I remind you of what Habakkuk said, you know, that bitter and hasty nation, he called Babylon, that marcheth through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Why are they bitter and hasty? Well, the same reason that they went into Afghanistan and Iraq, because of the World Trade Center. I believe the same thing's about to happen again, except worse. And bitter and hasty, they're again going to defend themselves and set their nest on high, so to speak. The Bible says in Habakkuk that they were swifter than leopards. You know, that's a remark about Alexander's kingdom. It was famous for moving very quickly and conquering very quickly, lightning speed, you know. Well, now they're attributing that to the eagle of Babylon. And, of course, that's exactly what America's going to do. You know, they're going to move with lightning speed. It says they're more fierce than the evening wolves, Habakkuk 1 and 8. Their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from far. They fly as an eagle and hasteth to devour. They come, all of them, for violence. The set of their faces is forwards. They gather captives as the sand. Yea, he scoffeth at kings, and princes are a derision unto him. He derideth every stronghold, for he heapeth up dust and taketh it. Then shall he sweep by as a wind, and shall pass over and be guilty, he whose might is his God. They're obviously not asking our God whether they should do this thing. Their might is their God. But the Bible says they will be guilty. And 2 and 5 says, moreover, wine is treacherous, a haughty man that keepeth not at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol. Wine here probably representing people not discerning things in the right light, you know, like wine does, you know. A haughty man that keepeth not at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol, He is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all peoples. As you know, the harlot in Revelation 17 is riding upon the back of all nations, all peoples, all seven heads and all ten horns. Because the last kingdom shall devour the whole earth, as Daniel said. Devour the whole earth. Now, the United Nations, inside the United Nations is the whole earth. And riding upon the United Nations is the harlot of Babylon. It will bring all nations to this world war that we're about to see. And shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and saying, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And ladeth himself with pledges. How long? The nations ask. Because thou hast plundered many nations, all the remnant of the peoples, the remnant of the peoples, of course, those that are left from this great devastation. In the first 3.5 years, we're told that a quarter of the earth, that's a lot of people, folks. Think about that. That's in Revelation chapter 6. Thou shalt be booty unto them, because thou hast plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder thee, because of men's blood, for the violence done to the land, to the city, and to all that dwell therein. Folks, a great devastation is coming. We need to be prepared, to be provided for, to be protected by the Lord God. I don't make anything off of this, but I think it's a very good education for some folks. If you could go to my site, americaslastdays.com, and our book there, Sovereign God, For Us and Through Us, I think it prepares people greatly for the days to come. No, it's not an end time book, other than talking about what God's going to do of manifesting His Son in His people, returning Christians to true Christianity. It does talk about that. It talks about why things happen to people. It talks about the sovereignty of God in all things. It talks about delivering God's people out of Babylon. It prepares God's people. I would like all of you to go there and read that if you haven't read it already. You can read it freely on our site. You can even get the book there, you know. But if you read that book, I guarantee it will give you a peace and a rest about the things that are coming, to know that God is sovereign, that Babylon is, he calls them, his servant. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. And I will bring them against this land. God is sovereign in bringing the wrath and the judgment upon the earth, but he's also sovereign to save his people and preserve them. He said, I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It's not because America's great that God is doing this, or holy that God is doing this. It's because God is raising up a beast kingdom to persecute his people because they are in rebellion. In fact, if you go back in Jeremiah 25, you see that. Verse 8, the verse before that we read, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have not hearkened to my words, I will send and take the families of the north. God was speaking to his people there, because you haven't hearkened. The church has not obeyed God. It has departed mightily from the word of God. That's why this devastation is coming. That's why God's going to use America in this way. It's not America that's the people of God, folks. It is God's elect throughout the world. He's not a respecter of persons, nationalities, races. His people throughout the world are his nation. One holy nation. Brethren, we need to get our allegiances right. We need to learn to align with those people who are aligned with God, not carnal nations who are apostate, who have turned away from God. We need to align ourselves with God's people, not even natural Israel, because they are Israel and because, naturally speaking, they were the people of God. But New Testament Israel, who are grafted into the olive tree called all Israel because of faith, all the people who have the faith of the true God, these are our brothers and sisters around the world. Woe be unto us if we make allegiances with the world beast against these people. Yet that's what's happening right now. God bless you, brethren.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. My Lord Jesus.